So our opening hymn is the first one in your bulletin there, Hosanna, Loud Hosanna. And of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done, and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will, and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We'll continue with our entrance hymn, All Glory, Laud, and Honor.
Glory, Lord, and honor to you, Redeemer.
continue with the Kyrie. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Most merciful God, as the people of Jerusalem with palms in their hands gathered to greet your dearly beloved Son when he came into his holy city, grant that we may ever hail him as our King, and when he comes again, may go forth to meet him with trusting and steadfast hearts and follow him in the way that leads to eternal life through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Old Testament reading for Palm Sunday is from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, daughter of Zion. Shout, daughter of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous and brings salvation. He is humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the horse from Jerusalem. The battle bow will be taken away, and he will proclaim peace to the nations. His kingdom will extend from sea to sea, from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will release your prisoners from the waterless pit. Return to the stronghold, you prisoners who have hope. This very day I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll speak the gradual responsively. You hold me by my right hand. With your guidance you lead me.
And afterward you will take me to glory. Surely God is good to Israel, to the pure in heart.
The epistle reading is from Philippians chapter 2. Indeed, let this attitude be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Though he was by nature God, he did not consider equality with God as a prize to be displayed, but he emptied himself by taking the nature of a servant when he was born in human likeness, and his appearance was like that of any other man. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We'll speak the tract responsively. My God, my God, why have you forsaken me? My groaning does nothing to save me.
In you our fathers trusted. They trusted and you delivered them.
They cried out to you and they were rescued. They trusted in you and they were not disappointed. The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the 12th chapter.
Glory to you.
The next day, the large crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And taking palm branches, they went out to meet him, shouting, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it, just as it is written, Do not be afraid, daughter of Zion. Look, your king is coming, seated on a donkey's colt. At first, his disciples did not understand these things, but when Jesus was glorified, then they remembered that these things had been written about him and that they did these things for him. The crowd that was with him when he called Lazarus out of the tomb and raised him from the dead kept telling what they had seen. This is another reason a crowd met him. They heard he had done this miraculous sign. So the Pharisees said to one another, "You see, you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." Now there was some Greeks among those who went up to worship at the festival. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, "Sir, we want to see Jesus." Philip went to Andrew. Andrew came with Philip and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The time has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Amen, amen, I tell you, unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, it continues to be one kernel. But if it dies, it produces much grain. Anyone who loves his life destroys it, and the one who hates his life in this world will hold on to it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, let him follow me, and where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now my soul is troubled, and what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, this is the reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name." A voice came from heaven, "I have glorified my name, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said it thundered. Others said an angel talked to him. Jesus answered, "This voice was not for my sake, but for yours. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be thrown out, and I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said this to indicate what kind of death he was going to die. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you.
We'll continue with our chief hymn, "A Lamb Goes Uncomplaining Forth."
Salvation, O Lord. righteousness shall be my crown. With these I need not hide me, and there in garments richly wrought, as your own bride shall we be brought to stand in joy beside.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Parades are a time of celebration and pageantry. You don't have a parade at the time of tragedy and defeat. Parades are for winners. Today we hear of a parade that happened in Jerusalem, and the winner is Jesus. He was the one who was being celebrated. John tells us that one of the reasons why there was a large crowd surrounding Jesus as he entered the city was that they had heard about what he had done to Lazarus. Lazarus was a man who had died not long before this. He remained dead for four days. His body had started to decompose. But the composer of the universe showed up. That's Jesus. And told Lazarus to come out of his tomb. And he did. God's people had had prophets in the past who were able to bring life back to the dead, but that was very rare, and it also only happened with those who had freshly died. Nothing like this had ever happened before. Jesus told Mary and Martha, Lazarus' sisters, that he is the resurrection and the life. That indeed seemed to be the case. And so the people were wondering, might this be the Christ? Why, yes, that must be so. You heard them say that in the rousing chants as they marched along, Hosanna, which means save us, please. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, the King of Israel. They knew who Jesus was, and they acted accordingly. There was a great deal of enthusiasm and warmth in that crowd. They were moved to produce songs and dance and art spontaneously, which always makes the best kind of such things. They cut palm branches and waved them. They put their own clothes on the road for Jesus' donkey to walk on. Here we see a little foretaste of heaven. We creatures were made to praise God. It is our highest and most fulfilling activity. The problem we have while we are still in this life is that our heart is so often not into it. And our heart is not into it because we're weighed down with cares and worries and sadness. That is why we Christians always enjoy when a little bit of heaven breaks into our gray and dreary lives and lifts up our hearts, lifts them up unto the Lord. It is good and right and salutary that we should give thanks to the Lord. Nobody had to tell these people to do what they did. They did what they did because they wanted to, more than anything. Luke tells us that the Pharisees were appalled by this creative worship, but Jesus tells them that if the people didn't cry out, then the stones would have to start to sing. The joy simply couldn't be contained. Heaven is a good place. But the sour faces of the Pharisees shows us that not everyone thought this parade was heavenly. The Pharisees had been convinced long before this that Jesus was no good. They were irritated that the people were being taken in by Jesus, whom they regarded as a false teacher. They had tried to get it across to the people that Jesus was a Sabbath breaker, and therefore couldn't be any good, but the people weren't listening to them. The Pharisees were frustrated, as you heard in our gospel reading. We aren't getting anywhere, they said. Look, the whole world is going after them. But they were exaggerating, as cranky churchmen are liable to do, when they said that the whole world was going after Jesus. Not all of Jerusalem was there. Pontius Pilate certainly wasn't there. He didn't know anything about Jesus until the Jews brought him before him so that they could put him to death. The vast majority of Jerusalem was going about their work day, for this was not a day of rest for them. According to the Jewish mindset, their Saturday is our Sunday, and so their Sunday is our Monday. Palm Sunday was the beginning of the work week. These Jews who joined in on the parade had to skip work to do so, which they gladly did. It's not every day that the Messiah comes to town, but most people paid no mind to what was going on. They should have, though. Something was happening here with Jesus that was more important for their happiness and blessedness than anything that they might otherwise do. We can see this from Jesus' words this morning. When some Greeks came to see Jesus, they went through Andrew and Philip, and Andrew and Philip came and saw Jesus, and Jesus, when he heard about it, knew that the end had come. The Old Testament is full of prophecies that say that in the end times, the Gentiles are going to be streaming into Zion. And now, here we have some Gentiles who are interested in seeing Jesus. Immediately, Jesus is troubled. He knows what's coming. And Jesus is true man, after all. He's not made of stone. He knew there'd be hell to pay. There's a large part of him that wants to say, "Father, deliver me from this hour." But it is for this very hour that he came. And what was to happen at this hour? Jesus tells us, "Now this world is to be judged. The ruler of this world will be thrown out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." He said that to indicate the way that he was going to die on the cross. And what does this mean? How is the world judged? The world is judged for its unbelief in our Creator who has made us. All manner of various things are pursued with gusto, with the hope of advancement and blessing, not so with our God. We have been estranged from God by our disobedience to Him, which is bad enough, but what makes it even worse is that we haven't cared. We care about all manner of things, but not our good God who created us in his image. And what does it mean that the ruler of this world will be thrown out? The ruler of this world is the devil. All disbelief and idolatry ultimately trace back to him and to his lies. He lied in the beginning when he promised Adam and Eve that they would be better blessed if they followed his advice, rather than being obedient to the word and will of God. Ever since then, he has had tremendous power over all people. We were all born under his lordship and would remain under his lordship if we were not born again by being baptized with Jesus' baptism. The devil, though, is thrown out. The devil's reign of lies and death come to an end with the preaching of the gospel, for the gospel is truth and eternal life. The first preaching of the gospel took place in the garden. Unimaginable woe had come upon God's good creation with the fall into sin, but God did not forsake Adam and Eve and their children. He promised to send a Savior who would crush the serpent's head. The devil's lordship, under which Adam and Eve had voluntarily entered, would come to an end. And that would happen by the severe wounding of this Savior. In the crushing of the serpent's head, this Savior's heel would be crushed. It was by death that Adam and Eve and their children would be set free from their slavery to the devil, his world, and their own sin. they would be set free to become children of God now in time, with the fullness of that inheritance being given in the life of the world to come. This takes us to the tremendous words, "And I," Jesus says, "when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself." Here we have a statement that could be written large above all space and all time, even over all existence. What is life all about? It is about the sacrifice of the Son of God, which reconciles all sinners to the Father by virtue of the excellency of that sacrifice. The word of this accomplished fact goes out over the face of the whole earth, and when and where it pleases the Holy Spirit, he creates faith in this promise. Those who believe have received the Holy Spirit. They have come to know their God. They are no longer led astray by dumb idols. They are no longer afraid of God's wrath. They regard him as a dear father, and that they are his dear children, so that with all boldness and confidence they may speak to their God as dear children speak to their dear father. So it is with you. The truth that Jesus draws all people to himself and through him to the Father by his cross is the truth that all other truths must submit to. There is nothing more important. It doesn't matter what might happen to us otherwise. Whatever else might happen can't separate us from the love of God that is given to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. All things are made right by the blood of God shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of their sins. It is the blood, the death, the cross that reconciles us. Not any merit or worthiness in you. Therefore, you may have comfort and joy knowing that you are reconciled, not because of what you have done or left undone. The Father is satisfied with Jesus. Therefore, the Father is also satisfied for you, with you. For it is for you that Jesus died. We are congregated together this Palm Sunday under strange circumstances. In one way or another, you are all hearing my voice coming from a speaker, perhaps in your car or perhaps in your home. We might feel as though our circumstances are so strange that we can't at all relate to the people who greeted Jesus as he made his way into Jerusalem with song and dance and palms. What kind of parade do we have as we sit here in our cars or in our homes? But that's not true. We can relate to them. Although we might be stuck in our cars or homes, we may still sing our praises to Jesus, just like they did. Hosanna, loud Hosanna, please save us. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Jesus is the King of Israel. Jesus is the King of the world. He has graciously drawn us to himself. We know that because he has told us. Just as not all of Jerusalem did not go to greet Jesus because they had better things to do, so it is also today. Folks look for their blessing elsewhere. They're busy in this way and that way. They might think our little parade today is strange and can't do a darn thing to fix this world's problems. But you know that isn't true. There is no problem that is too big for Jesus to handle. Sin, death, and the devil have to give way to him. So what is a virus? Even if this virus should infect you and kill you, it still has gained nothing. The end point of your life remains the same, whether you live a short time from now or a long time from now. The end point of your life is the resurrection from the dead, when all powers and principalities are placed under Jesus' feet. In that resurrection, your flesh will be purified from all your sin, and all evil will be forever confined in hell, never to break in on God's good creation again. You will be changed. Then you will sing like you have never sung before. Then you will love like you have never loved before. Then you will live like you have never lived before. In anticipation of this, we will already sing love and live. I wish we would all be better able to hear each other when we sing, but certainly God hears us. When we close our service this morning, we will sing a hymn to Jesus, ride on in majesty. Then you will be given the opportunity to thank Jesus for riding on in lowly pomp, riding on to die. He did it for you. He has saved you. The peace of God that transcends all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen. We'll continue with our service and we'll confess the Nicene Creed, which you may find in your bulletin. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. For our prayers this morning, we'll use the litany as it's printed in your bulletin. O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
have mercy.
O Lord,
have mercy.
O Christ,
hear us.
God the Father in heaven,
have mercy.
God the Son, Redeemer of the world,
have mercy.
God the Holy Spirit,
have mercy.
Be gracious to us.
Spare us, good Lord.
Be gracious to us.
Help us, good Lord.
From all sin, from all error, from all evil, from the crafts and assaults of the devil, from sudden and evil death, from pestilence and famine, from war and bloodshed, from sedition and from rebellion, from lightning and tempest, from all calamity by fire and water, and from everlasting death.
Good Lord, deliver us.
By the mystery of your holy incarnation, by your holy nativity, by your baptism, fasting, and temptation, by your agony and bloody sweat, by your cross and passion, by your precious death and burial, by your glorious resurrection and ascension, and by the coming of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter.
Help us, good Lord.
In all time of our tribulation, in all time of our prosperity, in the hour of death and in the day of judgment.
Help us, good Lord.
We poor sinners implore you.
To hear us, O Lord.
To rule and govern your holy Christian church, to preserve all pastors and ministers of your church in the true knowledge and understanding of your wholesome word, and to sustain them in holy living, to put an end to all schisms and causes of offense, to bring into the way of truth all who have erred and are deceived, to beat down Satan under our feet, to send faithful laborers into your harvest and to accompany your word with your grace and spirit. We implore you to hear us, good Lord, to raise those who fall and to strengthen those who stand and to comfort and help the weak-hearted and the distressed.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord,
to give to all peoples concord and peace, to preserve our land from discord and strife, to give our country your protection in every time of need, to direct and defend our president and all in authority, to bless and protect our magistrates and all our people, to watch over and help all who are in danger, necessity, and tribulation, to protect and guide all who travel, to grant all women with child and all mothers with infant children increasing happiness in their blessings, to defend all orphans and widows and provide for them, to strengthen and keep all sick persons and young children, to free those in bondage and to have mercy on us all.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
To forgive our enemies, persecutors, and slanderers, and to turn their hearts, to give and preserve for our use the kindly fruits of the earth, and graciously to hear our prayers.
We implore you to hear us, good Lord.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God.
We implore you to hear us.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Have mercy.
Christ, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world.
Grant us your peace.
O Christ.
Hear us.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
O Christ.
Have mercy.
O Lord.
Have mercy.
Amen. We pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. O Lord, do not deal with us according to our sins.
Do not reward us according to our iniquities.
Almighty God, our heavenly Father, you desire not the death of a sinner, but rather that we turn from our evil ways and live. Graciously spare us those punishments which we by our sins have deserved, and grant us always to serve you in holiness and pureness of living. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Almighty God, heavenly Father, give us grace to trust you during this time of illness and distress. In mercy, put an end to the epidemic that afflicts us. Grant relief to those who suffer and comfort all that mourn. Sustain all medical personnel in their labors and cause your people ever to serve you in righteousness and holiness through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Our closing hymn, Ride On in Majesty. Blessed Holy Week. It's unusual circumstances. This will be a Holy Week that we'll always remember, I think. But it also impresses upon us what's important about Holy Week too, our salvation. As far as announcements go, we will plan on having a service on Thursday and Friday, and then also on Easter. So I think in an email that I sent out earlier, I said 7 o'clock on Thursday and Friday, but I was looking outside yesterday at 7 o'clock, and it's starting to get dark. So I think we'll move that up to 6:30. So 6:30 on Thursday and Friday, we'll have services during Holy Week here. I want to thank Kathy Heck for playing the organ this morning inside, and also Bob Jensen for doing the congregational responses. I think that's helpful for me. I don't know if it's helpful for you as well. I think that's all I have for announcements, and thank you very much all for coming, and God bless all of you richly.